Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Assumpta Latus and here are our main stories. Rwanda's Supreme Court has accepted a case filed by the main opposition party against the extension of Paul Kagame's presidency.
The judges have struck a serious blow against the government case and have said that they now will look at this case in a great amount of detail in the next couple of weeks.
And Kenyan workers threaten widespread strikes if the government doesn't meet striking teachers' demands.
We want to compel the Teachers Service Commission and the government to respect the rule of law. We want also to compel every person to understand that in Kenya, the independence of the judiciary must be respected.
We will also be having our radio novella, Learning by Ear.
Top story.
We kick off in Rwanda, where the Supreme Court has accepted a case filed by the main opposition party against plans to change the constitution to allow President Paul Kagame to run for a third term. Parliament voted in favour of the constitutional change in July, backing a petition signed by more than 3 million citizens. The government denies allegations that it is behind the moves to extend Kagame's presidency. This report by Jesko Johansson was adapted for Africa Link and is now presented by Fred Muvunyi.
Frank Habineza looks as if nothing could shake him. He heads Rwanda's only opposition party, the Democratic Green Party. He says that since the party was founded in 2009, members were beaten up and denied work permits.
So it was a very difficult time whereby, you know, our congresses were physically beaten by some people and were denied permission to operate. 2010, my deputy got assassinated and myself also I went to exile in Sweden, where I stayed for 2 years.
It took 4 years before the party was officially recognized in August 2013, too late to take part in parliamentary elections, Habineza recalls. Rwanda is ruled by the Rwandan Patriotic Front, RPF, of President Paul Kagame. In 2013, it won 76% of votes. There are officially recognized opposition parties in Rwanda, but independent Rwandan journalist Gonza Muganwa thinks that they are in bed with the ruling party.
They are in the RPF alliance, they are in government, and usually they take the same position as the ruling party. So they are not viewed as the opposition, and the opposition is outside parliament.
Support for President Kagame and his RPF appears to be strong among the general population. Wherever Kagame appears, crowds are waiting for him. Sometimes they wait for hours in the midday heat. In the 2010 presidential election, Kagame won more than 93% of votes. That election was accompanied by numerous reports of voting rigging. Under the Constitution, Kagame is not eligible for a third term in 2017, but Parliament has voted to amend the Constitution, thereby opening the way for him to run for office again. The Green Party lodged a complaint with the Supreme Court, which has now ruled that it has the authority to decide on such an issue. Habineza thinks that president should leave office in 2017.
We think that Rwanda deserves a peaceful transfer of power, so that even the democratic principles can be rooted into our culture. We have never had any peaceful transfer of power for the last 100 years.
A report by Jesko Johansson. Let's now dig a little deeper. As we have heard that the country's Supreme Court has affirmed its competence to hear the opposition's case later this month. But how independent is the judiciary in Rwanda? A question by Jane Ayeko Kumet to Phil Clark of ZOAS in London.
This tells us that the Rwandan judiciary is much more independent than a lot of Rwanda's critics would suggest. A lot of the critics in the last few weeks have been suggesting that the court would simply agree with the government, that it would throw this case out, it would refuse to deal with this issue of the presidential third term. In fact, the judges have struck a serious blow against the government case and have said that they now will look at this case in a great amount of detail in the next couple of weeks.
This decision comes after the parliament endorsed the petition signed by nearly 4 million people in favor of changing the constitution. President Kagame himself has signed a bill that sets up a constitutional reform commission. What is your take on this?
What we've seen over the last year is the Rwandan government really paved the way for a referendum to try and change the constitution and to try and allow President Kagame to run for a third term. In contrast to Burundi, where President Nkurunziza really rammed that change through, Rwanda has tried to do this in a slower and more methodical way. Firstly, by getting this petition of nearly 4 million citizens, by setting up this commission for constitutional change. All of the pieces are being put in place for Kagame to run again in 2017. This legal challenge in the Supreme Court represents the last major impediment to Kagame changing the constitution. And I think that's why the Supreme Court's decision to go ahead and hear this case is so significant.
Now, you just talked about Burundi, and that brings me to my other question. Rwanda's neighbour, Burundi, plugged into turmoil after President Pierre Nkurunziza launched a bid for a third term in office. Could the change of the constitution in Rwanda result in something similar?
I don't think we're going to see anything like the degree of instability and violence that we've seen in Burundi. In the Rwandan case, the Rwandan government has been much more careful about how it's gone about this process of constitutional change.
Given the experience of genocide, President Kagame has been painted as a guarantor of stability and economic development. Does this justify his bid for the third term?
The perceptions of everyday Rwandans are particularly complex on this issue of whether Kagame should run for a third term. I've just come back from another month of fieldwork in Rwanda, and I was out in the countryside speaking to many Hutu peasants about what they think of Kagame, and they will say things like, we don't like his brand of governance, we don't like a Tutsi-dominated government, but we do appreciate the fact that Kagame has extended socioeconomic development into the countryside in a way that no previous president has done, and that the benefits of Kagame's rule have spread across the ethnic divide. So for that reason, even though there's some skepticism about Kagame in rural areas, I think the majority of the population still feels that they've benefited under his rule. A lot of the population would prefer to see Kagame stay.
Phil Clark of SOAS in London.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Now, teachers in Kenya are determined to continue with protests, and they have now the backing from a body representing Kenyan unions. The body is putting more pressure on the government to meet the teachers' demands, or else it will organize widespread strikes next week. But the government says there is no money to pay the teachers because it was not included in the country's budget presented to Parliament in June this year. James Shimanyula has more.
Kenya's Central Organization of Trade Unions, known in short as COTU, has more than 5 million members. In a rare move, the union joined more than 300,000 teachers that have abandoned the classrooms to demand a pay increase which the Kenya Supreme Court ordered that they should be paid. On Wednesday, the Giant Workers Union and the Teachers Union, known as Kenya National Union of Teachers, KNUT, came together at Uhuru Park in central Nairobi in a show of solidarity with the teachers. Francis Atuoli, Secretary General of Kenya's Giant Central Organization of Trade Unions, COTU, told me why his union decided to join teachers in their strike.
As COTU, without showing our solidarity with the striking teachers, the next victims, it will be ourselves. The ordinary employers, if they would say, if the government doesn't respect the law, who are we? We are courting anarchy in Kenya, where nobody will respect the court of law.
Muzo Nzili, chairman of the Kenya National Teachers Union in KNUT, explains why the teachers' strike is likely to continue for a long time.
We want to compel the Teachers Service Commission and the government to respect the rule of law. We want also to compel every person to understand that in Kenya, the independence of the judiciary must be respected.
KNUT Secretary General Wilson Sosioni reflected on the impact of the teachers' strike to workers in other sectors in the country.
An injury to one group of workers is an injury to all the workers. If we lose, all workers will lose. So that is why it's inevitable that we must stand together. This is not time for negotiation. It's time for respect of orders of the court.
When I sought views of ordinary Kenyans and some teachers, they concurred that the striking teachers deserved a pay increase awarded to them by Kenya's Supreme Court.
The teacher is the only civil servant who has been left on a lower tail in the step of development.
We believe that we are going to succeed. This is a war we have started, and our win has been evident through the court orders which the courts have given, that teachers be paid 50-60%. We are not relenting. We are fighting. This is a war we must win.
A report by James Shimanyula. In Cameroon, more than 300 passengers remain stranded after the country's national air carrier, Cam Air Co, abandoned them at the airport. This follows a breakdown of the country's planes. The travelers, whose flights were affected, have been waiting for 3 weeks without a ray of hope. And worse still, Cam Air Co has failed to take care of them, and some of the passengers have been sleeping at the airport. From Yaounde, Moki Kinzeka reports.
At least 300 clients of Cameroon's national air carrier are staging a protest at the Yaounde office of Cam Air Co. 45-year-old Giselle Muniga from Bangui in the Central African Republic says they have been abandoned for at least 3 weeks and her 1 month visa is about to expire.
I want my money back. I will never travel with this company again. Let them refund my money. I have spent 5 nights sleeping at the airport and nobody is attending to me, even though they were informed that I am a diabetic traveling to Paris for treatment.
Jean-Claude Tsila, the most senior government official in the Mfundi division, where the travelers are protesting, says he has received assurances from the company that the standard will be able to travel in the days ahead.
I came to bring these Cam Air Co clients who have suffered enormously comforting news. I have received information that 200 of them will be able to leave tomorrow for Paris on a chartered flight.
This is not the first time the clients have been promised they could leave. I decided to go find out at the Yaounde Nsimalen International Airport if travelers who had been promised a seat in a chartered flight this Wednesday had actually left. 22-year-old Prudence Nkon, traveling to Switzerland, says she was deceived.
Last Saturday, they asked us to meet at the airport for a flight at 4 p.m. There was no flight. They told us that their planes are undergoing repairs.
Cam Air Co General Manager Nana Sanjon says he is begging his clients for their understanding.
Our biggest plane, the DGA, is undergoing repairs in France. The second one is undergoing maintenance work, and the remaining one cannot take everyone. After the repairs, things will return to normal.
Barely 200 of the over 600 passengers have been able to leave Cameroon.
Moki Kinzeka in Yaounde. And now here is our radio drama series, The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there. This is Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear radio novella about some African teenagers who have tough decisions to make every day.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
This is the fourth season entitled Facing New Challenges, and we are on the 21st episode. A lot has happened lately. Kisimba was hit by floods, affecting everyone who lives there. Dan was out on a date with Tina, and he put himself in danger when he tried to save another man from drowning.
Dan, watch out! The telephone pole is falling!
God, Dan, are you okay? Dan, are you okay? Somebody help!
The fate of Nikki's mother, Mrs. Jumbe, is also uncertain. She disappeared after a family row and she hasn't contacted her husband or Nikki since. Has Mrs. Jumbe been caught up in the flood or did she get away safely? Mercy's mother Lulu got into serious trouble. She was working at the market when the floodwaters hit. Her shop was washed away and she didn't know whether her 12-year-old twin sons Kadu and Banda were safe. Luckily, they were rescued, but Lulu has been worried about her firstborn daughter Mercy. The two of them haven't been on speaking terms since Lulu discovered that Mercy married Nikki even though she knew he was HIV positive. And that's not all.
What do you want, Mercy?
I thought you should know that Nikki and I have decided to have a baby.
What? Mercy, will you ever listen to anything I tell you?
That's how it is.
Well then, I guess you and I have nothing more to talk about.
Mom, please.
Since then, Mercy's doctor has given her the happy news that she's pregnant. The treatment she underwent was successful, and both she and the baby are perfectly healthy despite Nikki's infection. Today's episode is called The Aftermath, and we begin in the Tandika slum. The shock of the flood has brought Mercy and Lulu together again, and they've finally reconciled.
Shh, Mom. Please don't cry. Mom, please.
Shh. I'm sorry, my daughter. I should have listened to you. You told me to insure my business, but I didn't listen. Now the floods have washed away my livelihood.
Mom, please, don't cry. There's nothing you can do about it now.
I'm not crying because I've lost my business. I'm crying because you came back to me after all I said to you.
Mom, please, don't mention it.
No. Listen to me. I love you, my daughter. You're the single most important person to me right now. What if you had died in the flood? I was so afraid I would never see my children again. Your decision to stay with Nikki despite you know what, it's hard for me to accept, but it's your life. I will support you.
Oh, Mom.
But be careful, my daughter. Please, promise me you'll be careful.
I will, Mom. I am already. I'm sorry I made you angry.
I wasn't angry, only scared. I'm sorry, too, that I reacted the way I did. I didn't know you can't catch HIV from touching or from sharing dishes and cutlery.
It's okay, Mom. You know now.
I still don't really understand your decisions, but I will be there for you, my girl.
Oh, Mom. I love you so much. Come here, give me a hug.
Okay. You'll break my ribs. I'm an old woman for crying out loud.
All right, oldie. I have to go now. Here, take this. I've been saving up. It's not a lot, but it will help you restart your business. You know, just like before, selling vegetables.
No, I can't accept it.
Come on, Mom.
What about you and your family?
Nikki works at the gym and I have my part-time job at the university radio. We will be okay.
Well, if you're quite sure, God knows I need the money after what's happened to my shop.
You're very welcome, Mom. And please, take the twins to the doctor just to check. A lot of people have fallen sick since the flood, and the boys were stuck in the flooded house for such a long time.
Listen to her, trying to teach her mother how to bring up children. I'm your mother, girl. I did all right with you, didn't I?
Yes, Mom, but seriously...
Will you shut up now? Say hi to that handsome husband of yours and to my granddaughter, Linda.
I will.
I know I said so, Dad. But to be honest, I just don't want to see her right now. Dad, wherever she is, Mom will be okay. Look, I have to go. Someone's at the door. Hi, Mercy. Welcome home, my dear.
Oh, Nikki.
How is it out there?
It's still so muddy you wouldn't believe it stopped raining 2 days ago.
And how are they? your mother and your siblings?
Fortunately, the boys are fine. Mom's shop is gone, though. I don't know what she's going to do for money. I wish she'd listen to me. If only she'd insured her shop. Oh, dear. Has your mother been in touch?
No. I just got off the phone with Dad. He's still on at me to help look for her.
Your father's right. She's your mother, Nikki. You can't just sit here and do nothing. It's been 2 days and not a word from her.
She may be my mother, but she really knows how to piss me off.
That's neither here nor there. You have to help your father look for her.
All right, all right. Will everybody just get off my back for a minute?
Nikki.
Okay. I'll check the hospitals and look for her. There. Happy?
Tina, we go?
Yes, doctor.
You came with Dan Kanyama, right?
Yes, doctor.
Are you a family member?
I'm his girlfriend. Is he going to be okay?
Yes. He was brought in just in time. Otherwise, he would have bled to death.
Oh, no. I was so scared. I thought Dan was going to die.
No, no. He just fainted from the pain. His foot is fractured, and he has a minor concussion. The man who came in with him was not so lucky, though.
Oh.
I'm afraid he's just succumbed to his injuries.
Oh, no. Dan had just saved him from being swept away by the flood when the telephone pole fell on them.
It's very sad. We have so many patients to see today because of the floods. And I'm afraid we've lost many more.
Oh, thank God it's over. Can I see him?
Okay, but only for a few minutes. I have to go and attend to the others.
Okay, thank you.
Come in. Oh, hi, Nikki. Good to see you. Please, come in.
Hello, Dr. Florence.
I didn't expect to see you here today. Do we have an appointment about the baby?
No, doctor. Actually, I'm going around the hospitals looking for my mother. She disappeared 2 days ago, and we're going around to see whether she might have checked herself in. I found myself here, so I thought I'd just drop in and say hello.
Ah, I see.
Sorry, doctor. Can I take this? It's my dad.
Sure. Go ahead.
Hello, Nikki?
Dad, can I call you back? I'm in the middle of something.
Whatever it is, leave it and come straight home.
I can't, Dad. Let me call you back.
Stop arguing with me, boy. Do as I say, right now.
If it's about Mom, I still haven't heard from her. But I'm at the hospital now.
Your mother is dead, Nikki. Your mother is dead.
What?
Yes, son. She's just been pulled out of the Tantika River.
No. No, this can't be true.
It is. I've just identified a body. Please come home, Nikki. I need you.
No. No, this can't be true.
What is it, Nikki?
Oh my God. It can't be true. My mother is dead.
With this very sad news for Nikki and his family, we come to the end of today's episode. How will they deal with their loss? Don't miss the next episode of Crossroads Generation when we learn more about the consequences of the flood. Bye for now.
And now, a reminder of our main stories. Rwanda's Supreme Court has accepted a case filed by the main opposition party against the extension of Paul Kagame's presidency. And a body representing Kenyan unions has threatened widespread strikes if the government doesn't meet teachers' demands. For questions and comments on this program, send us a text message to +49 160 9575 9510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. That's it for today. My name is Assumpta Latus. Have a good day and bye-bye.